Hello, I'm Simon Hoggart with the News Quiz of the Year, our annual compilation of the best of the News Quiz. And as ever, we start with a seasonal clipping read by Corrie Caulfield.
Lewisham Council has decided to start charging £20 for replacement bins after a series of other measures failed to stop its bin population walking. Officers have so far failed to solve the mystery of a Lewisham wheelie bin that was found floating in the Sea of Galilee.
Our first series this year began in March. Those days already seem a distant memory. You could get a pint of beer for as little as £2. No one realised that Lady Thatcher was still leader of the Conservative Party. But on the show, there was an even more shocking revelation. Who'll be advertising 20 situations vacant in next week's job pages?
Have I been bowled the incredibly boring European Commission story? Has money changed hands here again? This is the story that the investigation by the Commission revealed levels of corruption and nepotism and cronyism. I personally don't feel qualified to criticise people about nepotism, given that I'm only actually on this show because I'm Simon Hoggart's love child. which he's been in denial about for quite a while, but it's quite upsetting, actually. And at the centre of this web of incompetence and corruption seemed to be Edith Cresson, who, as I recall, once said that all English men were homosexuals. All the women nodding their head in the audience. And she also said that, I seem to recall that she said that Japanese people were ants. So I'm not sure she was the right person to have that much responsibility, really. Anyway, that was the story, Simon. Dad.
It was a terrible shock when he knocked on my door, I must say. Little bearded person.
Well, how do you think I felt?
I'm not expecting you to sell me those oven gloves at £3 each. We start round two with an item seen in a Thomson Holiday brochure.
A typical day at sea might start with a genital stretch and tone session on the
sea. Well, that's what they mean by cruising. Linda, who thinks there's something fishy about the disappearance of Neanderthal man?
Neanderthal men, they died out because they ate a load of rubbish, loads of Pop-Tarts and burgers and things. And if they'd eaten more fish, they'd have been cleverer and they wouldn't have died out.
There's a big difference in Scotland about the issue of fish. Because if you go to a fish shop, or a chippy, as we call it in England, you look at the menu on the board and it says, Cod, Haddock, Rock, Plaice. And in Scotland it says, Fish! It's a bit non-specific, isn't it?
What would you like to eat? I'd like to eat an animal that lives in the sea, please. How much will that be? Oh, that'll be some money, please, sir.
And then there's special fish, which is so special that it's killed and rolled in breadcrumbs and fried. Surely if it was special, it should be sponsored and go to university.
A Doncaster-based pipe and fittings firm has received an approach which would bring a windfall of around £56 million to chairman Kevin MacDonald. Experts believe 653-year-old Mr. MacDonald may be ready to call it a day.
Tony, whose obsession with the 1970s police show is a matter of degree?
Yes, the fellow who's a postgraduate student who's doing TV studies, which means he has to dress up as a woman at the weekend. I got confused. Television studies. His dissertation is on the Sweeney, I think, and a few people are sort of criticising it and saying it's rather trivial, but he maintains it's a great cultural piece of work. It's classic lines like, shut it, you're nicked, and other lines I can't remember.
That was the only line in the entire show.
We had a long piece about it recently, and they say, we're the Sweeney and we ain't had our breakfast, that's what they're saying. and get the shooters, George.
Get
the shooters, George. Is
they said it exactly like that. It's very good.
A man driving to the rescue of a broken-down, camouflaged army lorry failed to see the vehicle and collided with it.
Alan, whose new school policy calls for additional improvements?
Yeah, it's another Carol Fordham story, isn't it? It helped Carol Fordham to build her reputation. It is impossible to do anything in this country without promoting Carol Fordham, but I see that advanced education policy, which has decided that children need now to learn the alphabet, has decided they should also learn to do the 10 times table. And we grew up with under-progressive education, which is why everybody ends up doing the news quiz for Tuttons, and knowing nothing at all. But under the new third way regime, children will now have to sit there and say 3 threes are 14 or whatever they are. And it's all endorsed by Vorderman. But it's a new scheme for Maths 2000. I mean, two things go together, don't they, in the promotion stakes, the Dome and Carol Vorderman. And I'm sure when they open it, finally, there'll be nothing in it but Carol Vorderman clearly doing sums for people.
Who's on Tuppence?
What?
I can't pay everyone, Andy.
No, all right, then, fair enough.
I did give you the gift of life, after all. And does he ever call? By the way, that voice asking a question was John Sargent, kindly standing in for me in April. As we approached summer, the nation looked forward eagerly to yet another wedding of the decade. A prince among men was to marry his blushing bride in their fairy tale castle. Unlike the public, however, our panel seemed more interested in Prince Edward's marriage to Sophie Rhys-Jones than Posh Spice and David Beckham, who made a right royal mess of its full frontal coverage.
This is a great national emergency, isn't it? Turns out that Sophie Rhys-Jones has breasts. And this was revealed by the Sun newspaper in inverted commas, on, I think, about Wednesday. And then they apologised almost immediately for this terrible revelation. They had a huge front page saying, Sophie topless. And it's very odd. If you've ever seen the editor of the Sun, this man Yelland, he's bald as a coot. I mean, he's permanently topless. He doesn't think that newsworthy, but he gets fantastically excited at the merest glimpse of Sophie topless or anyone else topless. I think it's because an awful lot of those men on the Sun, they don't get out much, and they haven't yet discovered what goes on under ladies' T-shirts.
The apology was to Prince Edward, though, because he hadn't actually seen them yet. He's going, oh, that's ruined my wedding night.
He kept saying that this is not in the public interest, and I have to say, I am the public, and I was slightly curious.
I know who's making her dress. It's a woman called Samantha Shaw. It just shows how low everything has sunk, including me, that I know who's making Sophie Rhys-Jones' dress.
Does she make your dresses, then?
No.
It makes a bit of a mockery of this new people's princess thing, isn't it? Diana had her frocks made by Versace, and Sophie has her frocks made by a woman Alan knows. Works out of a dry cleaner's on Cricklewood High Street.
A man accused of robbing a post office in Hereford was cleared when the jury accepted his alibi that he and his girlfriend had been shoplifting on the other side of the city.
To all of those listeners who spotted that. Jeremy, why shouldn't Mum and Dad let there be light?
Oh, this is all these people who try and tell you you're messing up your kids' lives as if we didn't know. Apparently everything we do is wrong. Every couple of years they bring out a survey saying, oh, you mustn't give them bottled milk because their pelvis will explode when they're 30. And first they tell you, oh, they're supposed to sleep on their back. Then you say, no, they're supposed to sleep face down in their own vomit. And he's supposed to sleep upside down in the wardrobe. And now they say that they're better off screaming in terror and clawing at the bedroom door with their tiny little nails than having a little tiny cute nightlight on to give them some sort of comfort in this miserable, dispiriting world. And we're all such evil parents that there is a minor risk that our children might be short-sighted because they sleep with the light on. And who doesn't go to bed in lurking terror, let's be honest. And besides, this is all irrelevant because most children sleep with their mum and dad until they go to university. So, who are these people who do their service? It's all done on mice anyway. They put a mouse to bed and then they shine a little Pisco torch in its eyes. And then they put a couple of cocktail sticks under its eyes and then they say, oh, this mouse betrayed bizarre symptoms of running around chewing sideboards and running around in a big wheel. Therefore, all parents are wrong, as if we didn't know. I mean, as if we didn't have enough pressure. I mean, we're doing our best to screw our kids' heads up. We haven't got time to mess up their eyesight. Let's be honest.
Clive, whose job application seems to have fallen on Tony grounds?
Is this a local story to the BBC?
It is.
Well, I'm not sure the premise of your question is entirely right, but the rumour in all good broadcasting circles is that Greg Dyke is a shoo-in for the Director General of the BBC. And I'd like to say now, in case he does get the job, and given that quite a lot of my income at the moment comes from the BBC, I shall be right behind him and... apparently, he's either going to get the job because he's a friend of Tony Blair, which is a good thing to be these days, or because he's a friend of Tony Blair, he should not be allowed to have the job because he'll go to John Simpson instead.
You haven't mentioned the 50,000 quid he slipped Tony Blair for the election. This is for the election to the Director General.
Well, I didn't want to embarrass you because no. I know your job on the news quiz is only secured by huge contributions to the...
I brought my lawyer along to just so I could get away with statements.
Unfortunately, I am your lawyer.
Modelling competition. All entrants must be over 16 and under 24. Females must be 5 feet 8 or over and dress size 8 to 12. Males must be at least 6 inches with a good physique.
Andy, why have melon sales gone from boom to bust?
This is the big political story of the week. Actually, you sometimes get people write in, they got a letter saying, you know, how do you tell if a story is total cobblers? And I think the answer is, if it includes the word psychologist. Because apparently, I think he's... Actually, is he a fruit psychologist?
A retail psychologist
said that when women shoppers feel the melons and look at the melons, they favour the small melons because they subconsciously, that's another word that tells you that it's cobblers, are comparing the melons with their breasts. Thus reinforcing that very wise old adage, never eat anything bigger than your breasts.
Did he say anything about buying bananas?
Seven out of 10 women questioned admitted they'd been thinking about breasts when purchasing their melons, compared to the 9 out of 10 men who'd admitted that they'd been thinking about them non-stop since they were 12 and a half.
Callers to the cable television supplier Cable and Wireless are disappointed by a recorded message of a scheduling change. Due to events in Kosovo and Albania, it informs them, the film Wag the Dog will not be shown. How sensitive of Sky to pull a movie about an American president starting a war in Albania to deflect attention from a domestic sex scandal? The message concludes, the film Mortal Kombat Annihilation will now be shown in the...
In summer, most people like to relax on holiday, like the England cricket team. On the news quiz, though, we only get to enjoy the seaside in autumn, when the wind swirls cold rain along the beaches, and the streets are filled with the kind of sad, dysfunctional people whom society prefers to scurry past and ignore. Yes, this year we took the show to the party conferences. We start with an item from the Bournemouth Daily Echo, read by Peter Donaldson.
Crackdown on prostitution. A high-profile crackdown on prostitution is in the pipeline once the Labour Party conference is over.
Mark, who was driven to distraction by a bad hair day.
Oh, is this the good Deputy Prime Minister we're talking about? Yes, who... I saw it today, just how ridiculous it is, this little length that he sort of went about. It's about 200 yards, and it's downhill as well. I mean, you can understand it, 200 yards on the flat. Of course you need two jags and... come from a working-class background, see, that's the thing. So the middle class is somebody who gives you a limousine, and you go, oh, well, that's rather unnecessary, I'm only going over there. But if you're from a working-class background, you go, whoa, well, we might as well get in it. Hey, they're giving it us, we might as well use it, hey. Look at, hey, Pauline, feel that, hey, look at that, that's real leather, is that? Hey, what does that thing do there, mate? That cigar, or I don't even smoke, stick it in there, go on, hey, put your finger in it for a laugh, go on. we're there, sir. We'll go back up and back down again. Another gadget, the working classes.
But what was very sweet was on Thursday morning, because of all this terrible publicity for Prescott, the entire cabinet had to walk from the hotel to the conference centre, and you saw them forming a crocodile, and all these people who trying to get the hang of it, one foot there, stick that leg out, then it's quite easy when you try, really. And there they were all limping. Only two of them fell over, I think, in the course of it.
He got, Prescott got very touchy. I don't know if you saw the interview where John Suchet asked him why it had been necessary to make the journey by car. And he said, well, for security reasons and because my wife didn't want her hair blown about. Now, have you got any more silly questions? And I think John Suchet should have risen to that challenge. And said, yes, do crabs think that we walk sideways? And then... and just kept hitting him with silly questions, you know.
It's not the first time the minister responsible for the environment has made a gaffe. He's still to live down his statement, and this is true too, that the Green Belt is one of Labour's proudest achievements, and I intend to build on it.
Linda, which ancient beasts came to Auntie's rescue this week?
Oh, the dinosaurs, isn't it? It's Walkies for Dinosaurs. This new wildlife programme. But they've had some criticism, haven't they? Because people have said that it's not strictly scientifically accurate, that actually dinosaurs didn't have little tellies on their tummies. And there were no tinky-winkiosaurs at all. So apparently that's the problem. It's very popular, but it's a bit dodgy on the science, unlike, of course, the Flintstones, which I take all my life to.
We're back to Lady Thatcher, aren't we, here? I mean, this is meant to be the conference of the dinosaurs, and if you talk to senior Tories, they're very worried about this comparison with elderly relatives who don't get on. And obviously the scene that comes to mind is Christmas in Tory Towers. Fionn and William are doing their best. Tensions are rising. And you overhear the dialogue. If she comes into the kitchen again, I'll hit her. Get one of the children to go in there and ask her about the Falklands War. I know that Ted is annoyed. He doesn't like his present. He says he's already got a map of Europe.
Actually, John, you've hit upon something there, because I think that's why they've been so nice to her at conference, because they're guilty about putting her in a home.
It was a bit anthropomorphic walking with dining saws. They sort of project all these qualities onto these things on the basis of finding a couple of bones. And so the graphics are fantastic, but the voiceover is like, hello, it's Trevor the Triceratops. Hello, Trevor. What's that, Trevor? Ooh, there's a plesiosaur trapped down the old mine shaft.
One phrase that will no doubt be very useful in the West Country this summer is the pidgin English for a total eclipse. Hurricane lamp belong Jesus Christ gone bugger up.
Alan, which Italian, not so much stallions, are happy to be love rats?
Is this something to do with Italian impotence?
Yes, sort of.
Well, isn't that what sort of? It's either impotence or it isn't. How do you feel tonight, darling? Well, sort of. Well, it must be another study that when children get to the age of 12, they realise all Italians are impotent.
There was a very strange story about rats being injected with human sperm.
But that wasn't
Italian. I know no more than that.
Oh, I'm feeling faint now.
I can pick... I think I can redeem this question, if you allow me. They injected Italians into rats' testicles and they bred Italians from them. No, it's true.
Not that You create an Italian rat, surely, don't you? If you inject a bit of Italian... I'm no biologist. Goodness knows. But if you inject a bit of an Italian into a rat...
You get a better rat, yeah.
You get a rat that comes around with a big pepper pot and...
Dr. Severino Antinori, right, is an Italian gynecologist. And what he does is he stores human sperm in rats to keep it warm in order to use it later and help infertile couples.
Why hasn't he got
so
a cupboard?
So much for his hobby. What's he got?
You can't keep things in rats.
Darlington Football Club failed in an attempt to solve the problem of its pitch becoming waterlogged when 50,000 worms brought in to irrigate the ground all drowned.
Crucial game, Man U, Arsenal, end of the season, 5 minutes to go, and, you know, Arsenal want to bring on their sub. You say he has to wait till someone else comes along and they can go pudding and beef. Now that's, you see, that shows that the audience aren't that old, doesn't it? You don't remember pudding and beef. Because nobody remember going pudding and beef.
It's an old person's expression.
It was up the park. If you go at the park and you wanted to join in a game and the sides were even, they would say you have to wait till someone else comes along. Then you go, I'll be pudding, you be beef. And then the captains of two teams would say, right, pudding. And you say, you got him. I'm sorry, I didn't dream that. That was...
I think this is one park we're talking about, Andy. You are parochial, aren't you?
I think we should start having random drugs tests in this show.
Radio 4 is going to be flooded with letters of people with memories of playing pudding and beef.
I remember going early, early in for war.
What's that one?
Well, at playtime, you'd get, a boy would go in the playground and go, early, early in for war. And then another boy would link arms with him, and then another boy on the other side, and they just formed this chain. It meant anybody that wanted to be involved in a war, or a game of war, depending on what point of history it was, would march around in this sort of tiller girls routine with all their arms like that, ollie, ollie, in for what, and do that for 20 minutes, then we'd all go back in again.
You see, that's what's missing from modern education.
Well, we never did that. We were far too busy selling each other crack.
They didn't have crack. They had laudanum when you were at school.
I can't believe nobody remembers pudding and beef.
Well, we weren't exactly flooded, but we did get three letters from people who remembered pudding and beef. And so to the end of the year. Spare a thought for the News Quiz team. They're sitting round in a cold BBC open plan office, sifting and reading the hundreds of press clippings which have caught your eye. Please keep them coming in. We're grateful for every one of them, even those we can't use, which I save up for private functions. Here are a few which the panel picked out this past year.
This is an excerpt from the Good Pub Guide. It concerns a pub called Checkers at Wheeler End. It says, village signposted off B482 in Lane End, then first left also signposted, Wheeler End, or can be reached by very narrow Bullock's Farm Lane, brackets, sign may be defaced.
Other cutting sent in by Mrs. Val Parry from the Birmingham Evening Mail. A female chapter of the Hells Angels in America is suing a tattoo artist who misheard when members asked to have Satan's slaves written on their breasts and instead tattooed Stan's slaves.
I'm afraid I haven't got a written one this week, but I was talking to my friend Graham Garden the other week because we'd been smashing up a hotel room in a cocaine-fueled frenzy. And he was watching the television in Oxfordshire, so it's probably been in the Oxford Mail, but he said on the local news, the police were part of this initiative to get more black people to join the police force in Oxfordshire, and they went to this estate and had a press conference, and the West Indian man stood up during the conference and he said, we have a lot of young people in this estate with good potential and good brains. We don't want them joining the police force.
A German couple out for a holiday drive near Berlin ended up in a river.
apparently because the satellite navigation equipment in their BMW forgot to mention they had to wait for a ferry.
From the Stevenage Comet, it's a little advert, it says, for sale, cheap electric guitar and powerful amplifier. Phone after 6 p.m. If boy answers, please ring off and call later.
Fred, I'm not quite sure how this one's going to work. It's from the Oban Times from the 19th of August, and Ricky Salter sent it to me. And you might need to know a bit about the geography of the west of Scotland. It says, police received a complaint that as the ferry came into the island of Col on Thursday, three girls stood on the pier and mooned. And now this obviously doesn't happen a lot up the west of Scotland, because it goes on to explain by bending over and showing their buttocks. The complainant reported that they did not recognise any of them, but at least one of them was a Col girl. Meaning she came from the island of Col. Not that you recognised her buttocks.
Alan.
From the Independent, Simon. This Pete Huynes, 37, an angler from Gothenburg, Sweden, was taken to court for spanking his wife with a live eel. Court found him guilty and fined him £100 for cruelty to the eel.
A woman seen sitting in a parked car with both hands behind her head told paramedics she'd been shot and had been holding her brains in for an hour. But when they checked 23-year-old Linda Burnett from San Diego, California, they found she'd been hit by dough, which had exploded from a tin in the back of the car. Burnett reached back, she felt the dough, which she thought was her brains.
With that, goodbye.
Joining me, Simon Hoggart, on the News Quiz of the Year were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy, Linda Smith, Francis Ween, Clive Anderson, Tony Hawkes, Boris Johnson, Fred McCauley, Oliver Pritchard, Mark Steele, John Sargent, Steve Punt, John O'Farrell, and Roy Hattersley. The news lines were read by Corey Caulfield, Peter Donaldson, Charlotte Green, and Brian Perkins. The programme was researched, compiled, and written by Tom Jamieson and George Poles, with additional material from Dave Cohen. The series producers were John Rolfe and Lucy Armitage.